Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Jets fans, and welcome to the Jets Podcast Preview Show on 247sports.com as we get ready to talk about the upcoming game this Sunday, Week 6. The 2-3 New York Jets are going to host the Indianapolis Colts, who are 1-4 at MetLife Stadium, along with Rick Lachland and Michael Cohen. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein, as we get ready once again, Jets-Colts, as we prepare for this big week, Week 6. Very important stuff, gentlemen, and we will go with Rick Lachland first. And Rick, the New York Jets getting that huge win over the Denver Broncos in Week 5, 34-16. Maybe more if Marcus May didn't sputter at the goal line, got tackled at the one-yard line, but on that 104-yard interception return. But still, though, Rick, this is a game where the New York Jets, they must come out of the gate on point. They must have a fabulous start. They must go all out to make sure that, once again, this win over Denver was not a mirage.
And, you know, there's no surprise that as the Jets' running game goes, that's how the Jet offense tends to take off. I mean, Sam Darnold, look, he can't do it all on his own. He was really precise with the short and intermediate throws, but whether it was a product of Jeremy Bates not taking the training wheels off the offense, whether it was Todd Bowles trying to protect his defense by playing a more conservative style, whatever the case may be, the formula the Jets used last week against the Denver Broncos in Week 1 against the Detroit Lions, and I know you have to be game plan specific depending on the opponent you're going against, but the Jets have to give the ball to Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell and create some running lanes so that this team is not one-dimensional and they're not getting themselves in third and long situations where it's going to be a predictable 8-yard completion on a 3rd and 10 and the Jets are going to punt the ball. And the fact that they were feeding Robbie Anderson the ball on some deep passes, they tried the week before against the Jacksonville Jaguars, nearly missed on a wheel route to Bilal Powell. You had Anderson on a couple deep routes where he was overthrown, even Quincy Enunwa, who had one go in and out of his grasp. Well, it looks like Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson are getting on the same page, and that's good news for Jet fans, and it's good news for Sam Darnold's confidence, because I think there was a question whether Darnold could actually make these type of throws and whether he was going to be the next version of Chad Pennington, where he's going to basically be throwing the ball from 20 yards and under, whereas he is a strong-arm quarterback. You know, he doesn't have a cannon for arm. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but he can make some big plays down the field, and I expect, and if you're a Jet fan, you'd at least hope that they continue with a balanced attack offensively and not be gun-shy to test the ball downfield, because this is a very beatable Colts team that is injured. They're banged up heading into the week, and the defense isn't exactly anything to write home about. So I've been wrong on my predictions throughout the year, but I have a good feeling the Jets will come out on top in this one.
Well, Michael, you know, I know how much you like to talk about the quarterback situation for the New York Jets, and so far, five games in, how do you think Sam Darnold has been handling the NFL? And, of course, at the same time, what's your opinions about what Jeremy Bates has done to get him to play in the big boy league that is the National Football League?
Well, I thought he's done okay so far. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's an MVP caliber quarterback right now. He's played well. I mean, I thought they've really restricted him the first 5 weeks of the season. You know, he played a solid game against Detroit, but after that they just decided to not just put training wheels on him, but they decided to put full leg braces on him in that game because in the next three games, because they just prevented him from doing anything productive offensively. And you combine that with a poor offensive line, a running game that hadn't really gotten moving until last week. And you could see the frustration growing on him. Now, a big part of that is being a quarterback in the NFL for the first time and having to play, you know, three games in 11 days. I mean, that is just really difficult for anybody, especially a 21-year-old kid. I thought he handled it well coming out of it. And what we saw last week, I hope we see more of moving on, because they need to open up the playbook. We're playing in the NFL now where teams are wide open with their offenses. Quarterbacks are throwing football at a record pace. We're seeing teams now not afraid to throw the football 45, 50, even 55 to 60 times a game now. I'm not saying the Jets have to now that Sam Darnold has to throw 60 passes this week, but the point is it's all about the quarterback more than it's ever been before. And with all these eased up rules on defenses, the Jets really have to take advantage of it if they're going to have a chance to win these games. I thought last week was a step in the right direction. I hope that Jeremy Bates and company keep it going. I don't think going into a show this week against the Colts defense that's 23rd in total defense, and I believe they're like 24th in pass defense in the NFL, is going to be productive. They have to continue to open things up this week.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Michael. They have to really open up things this week because, Rick, the truth is this. The Colts are 1-4. Obviously, Frank Reich, the brand-new head coach for Indianapolis. Of course, everyone thought somebody was going to be leaving New England to join up, but decided he got suckered back into New England. But that's how I saw it. That's how I see it. That offensive coordinator will remain nameless. But still, though, under Frank Reich right now, the Colts really have been not good at all. T.Y. Hilton is injured, obviously. Their tight end is injured, obviously. Right now, it's just been a big mess to start this season, even though Andrew Luck is back from that long hiatus of being injured.
And, you know, injury is the key for the Indianapolis Colts. They have 9 players that are listed on the injury report, either questionable or out, and you alluded to it. T.Y. Hilton, their home run hitter, the tight end Eric Ebron, he has a shin. He's listed as having a shin, quadricep, ankle, and knee injury. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell the whole story of just how banged up this Colts team is, I don't know what does. And for Andrew Luck, you know, Michael Cohen wrote a fascinating article about how the Jets can't let Sam Darnold end up like Andrew Luck, and it's nothing to Luck's, you know, deserves blame for. It's really the front office and the pieces they've surrounded him with is that he's gotten battered and bruised behind a subpar offensive line. They haven't dedicated any resources or free agents or anybody to trying to surround him with a good running game, and he has basically a one-trick pony in T.Y. Hilton that's going to try to run as fast as possible down the field to get behind the defense. And that's been really the Colts' offense for the past 5 or 6 years. And with Luck coming off that serious injury, missing all of last year, it already came out that, you know, the injury was aggravated when he was snowboarding, which now he's given up, thankfully, if you're a Colts fan. But if you're the Jets, I mean, this is a very winnable game, a game at home where right now this is 2 straight home games. Their third will come next Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings. And, Daniel, you and I talked about this, and I still feel this way. If Todd Bowles is able to win 2 out of these 3 games, with this being the most winnable on the schedule, you know, with Minnesota lurking next week, I think he's going to at least buy himself some more time, at least to probably week 8 or 10 of the season, before you're going to start hearing Jet fans whining and complaining about firing him. So this, to me, is a pivotal game in trying to stabilize the season, develop some level of consistency on the offensive side of the ball, and silence some of those critics that want Todd Bowles to be fired. And ultimately, again, we're going to see how the season plays out. That may be the best thing that would happen for this Jet franchise, is to make a change at head coach, just given Todd Bowles' track record over the last 2-plus seasons. But in my mind, this is a game I think the Jets have the edge. I think the Colts are beaten down and broken down. And as long as they're able to get to Andrew Luck, shut down the Colts' running game, I think it could be a relatively low-scoring game. And as long as Sam Darnold continues to play mistake-free football or close to it like he has the past 2 weeks, I like the Jets' chances in this contest.
And, Michael, we did talk off the air maybe about a week ago that, you know, these are the biggest 3-game homestand right now for this 2018 season for the Jets, including Todd Bowles, because this would be the 3-game homestand that will either put him out of the team or keep him on the team to be this head coach for the Jets, because I think we've already said this. If they go 2-3, he'll probably stay, and the Jets are in a good position. If they go all 3, it's more than what we can ask for, but 1-2 or 0-3, that at, you know, whether he gets fired at the middle of the season or at the end of the season, these 3 home games are crucial for Todd Bowles. We talked about this off the air. I know that.
Well, I think every game is crucial for Todd Bowles. I don't know if it's just restricted to 3 games at home in the middle of October, but I'll say this. I mean, this is a very tricky spot for the Jets to be in. Because, yes, the Colts have a number of key injuries to their team. T.Y. Hilton listed as out. You got questionable Eric Ebron, as Rick just mentioned. But, you know, the Jets go into this game, they're not healthy either. I mean, Buster Skrine is out. Jermaine Johnson is out. Marcus May is listed as questionable with an ankle injury. It probably explains why he didn't score a touchdown last week. Probably pulled something on the way all the way down. the field for 103-yard return. So they got guys in the secondary that are beaten up. That's a problem going into this game because Andrew Luck, and look, I know that we've been questioning his health, and it's been kind of a slow process for him to get back, moving in the right direction again. The guy's been lighting it up the last 2 weeks. I mean, you look at his numbers, 829 yards in the last two games, 7 touchdowns. Now, yes, that's with a healthy T.Y. Hilton and a healthy Eric Ebron in the lineup. But still, this is a game where the Jets have to get a lot of pressure, in my mind, on Andrew Luck, and they can't relent on the pressure at all. They got to hit him, even if it's not a sack. Just do what the Eagles did to Eli Manning last night. Just smack him around, keep pressure on him, keep getting a hand on him so that he keeps thinking about it. That's the only way that you can beat the Colts in this game, because if Andrew Luck has the football at the end of the football game with a chance to win it, and I know the Colts have been in this spot a couple of times this year and haven't done it, spot to be in, especially with the Jets with a banged-up secondary. But as far as Bowles is concerned, a win this week would go a long way to calming down the waters. I don't know if it satisfies all the fans. I mean, the Jets could go out there next week and get blown out 55-0 by the Vikings next week, and here we go again. So it's really a week-by-week thing with Bowles. We won't have a full evaluation until around this time in 2 months, in December.
And I agree with you there, Michael. I mean, we'll find out what's going to happen, see what the Jets will do at the end of this year. But so far, Rick, I think we can all agree that, you know, if the Jets can go at least right now 3-3, if they can go just at 500, I think at the moment it's another positive step. What they do at the end of this three-game homestand will really be the focal point, because at least you got to go 3-3. If they go 3-3 right now and either go 4-3 or 3-4 after the home game against Minnesota, maybe there's a strong chance that, okay, things are not as bad as we would hope for, because this team, many thought we're going to go 1-4 playing against this Denver Broncos team last week, but obviously that didn't happen.
And look, let's not forget, last year's Jet team, of course, started 0-2, won 3 straight games, 3-2 after a win against the Jacksonville Jaguars in Week 5, and it looked like Todd Bowles could do no wrong for a Jet team that was expected, again, to win 1 or maybe 2 games during the 2017 season. Then, of course, we know what happened down the stretch. The Jets went 2-9. They lost Josh McCown as their starting quarterback. So I think win, lose, or draw in this game against the Indianapolis Colts, I think Michael is right. I mean, it's not like Todd Bowles is winning over this fan base and all of a sudden he's going to be back in their good graces, because another lopsided loss to the Minnesota Vikings will reset that needle right back to that position where the panic meter is going up. So in my mind, again, it's a winnable game. It's a game against a team with Andrew Luck that, frankly, I'm very high on Frank Wright. I think he's going to be a fantastic coach. I think more of their issues have to do with personnel and keeping their players on the field and healthy. And Eric Ebron, who at the tight end position, I mean, coming out of college, he was regarded as one of the top players in the entire NFL draft that year. And look where his career has gone between injuries, being, of course, let go by the Detroit Lions, and now with the Indianapolis Colts. He's a player that really has had a disappointing first couple of years of his career, and I think the Colts had high hopes for him, and he has certainly not lived up to those lofty expectations. But if you're a Jets secondary that Michael alluded to is depleted, you have issues with Buster Skrine battling injuries, Marcus May being dinged up, even Jamal Adams appeared on the injury report this week. This is the kind of game that they have to lay down the hammer early. They have to get after the quarterback, set the tone, and we're going to see Casey Rogers. His illness was still not disclosed. It's pretty questionable, if not doubtful, that he's going to be on the sidelines. And I made the argument, I think that's a good thing for the Jets, because I thought I saw many more second-half adjustments on that second half against the Broncos than I did any other game so far this season. And maybe that's a product of Todd Bowles being more in tune with the game, calling the play, seeing the flow of the game, and being able to adjust on the fly, as opposed to Casey Rogers, that seems to have a game plan that he sticks to it even in the second half after teams have adjusted to what his game plan is, whether it's working or whether it's not. So if you're a Jet fan, look, you hope for Casey Rogers a speedy recovery, a full recovery. But as far as from a football standpoint, I think the Jets are in the best scenario with Todd Bowles calling the shots. But of course, as the head coach, that's not the easiest thing in the world to do, is to manage the whole team and also try to manage play-by-play on the defensive side of the ball.
And, Michael, going back on defense, obviously, Leonard Williams finally broke out against the Broncos. 2.5 sacks on Case Keenum to put him on his keister. And I'm gonna tell you right now, Michael, I think this is the Leonard Williams, this is the big cat we've all been waiting to see finally breaking out. Obviously, he's had some great times at USC as well, at the front seven in college. He's finally broken out. I think that this is a game where, once again, he's going to have to find a way to slice through that defense, or should I say slice through that offensive line of Indianapolis to get to Andrew Luck. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I agree. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Make him uncomfortable. What?
Mm-hmm. You say that, okay, that I disagree with. I haven't said anything yet. But just to get piggyback off your point, I mean, this is going to be for Leonard Williams. I think he's in a situation now where he now knows he's the guy. The last few years, he's had to be kind of third in line behind guys like Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson. Was just kind of one of the other guys, and now he's finally the face of this defense. He's kind of grabbed the leadership role by the horns, which is nice to see. And unlike those other two guys, who were more focused about money or just their own personal well-being, yes, while I'm sure that Leonard Williams has all those thoughts in his own mind, he's right now all-team first, and that's what you like to see here if you're the Jets. I just love the fact of the leadership that he has brought to this defensive unit so far this year.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Michael, because, you know, this is the thing we always wanted to see. Well, you know, we've been agreeing so far very well, you know, and I'd like to agree some more. But anyway, you know, the one thing that I think that has been a very complete surprise, and Rick, you can probably agree with this as well, Andre Roberts, as a kickoff returner or a punt returner, either way, he has been a big surprise in special teams. Usually special teams, you hope and pray there's going to be some good runs. You hope and pray that, you know, they'll get something going. You know, you hope the kicking game and the punting game will be on point normally, completing field goals and punting down the field, forcing the opposition to be backed up at their goal line. But, you know, the punt return game, the kicking return game, Andre Roberts has been a complete surprise. And you got to give credit to the special teams coach for having him ready to go, and just to see him nearly getting a second punt return for a touchdown against Denver. That's what I think also needs to be helpful for the Jets in this game against the Colts.
Yeah, and we all know how he broke out in week one against the Detroit Lions. Lacking. And ever since Mike Westhoff left as the special teams coordinator, you saw a deep dip in production from special teams, whether it was field position, pinning teams deep, or getting return yardage into plus territory. The Jets didn't check any off in that column. And by having Darrell Roberts, you know, he going back to the days of Chad Morton, Leon Washington.
Whoops.
Hello?
Did we lose him? He disappeared. No, he loses himself
sometimes
on the that's right. Blame me.
Okay.
He'll call back.
Okay.
If you want to pick up Andre Roberts, Andre Roberts has been absolutely fantastic on special teams for the Jets.
He has. I mean, he's given them a lot of firepower there on the kick returns, punt returns. He's averaging 23 yards return on punts, 17 yards return on kickoffs. In a league now that, again, doesn't like to favor special teams too much anymore, especially in returns, he's been a nice change of pace. In fact, Dan, if he does go the distance this week, he will have more home runs in New York than another team that hit home runs this month.
That's very true. Very true. And we have Rick Lachlan back on live here on the Jets podcast preview show.
Yeah,
we
Daniel, I don't know how much
you caught.
I don't know how much you caught, but basically, the Jets special teams extraordinaire Brad Smith, going back to the days of Chad Morton, Leon Santana Moss. I mean, all these guys were dynamic in the special teams game.
Yep. No, I agree with you, Rick.
I think Rick Lachlan went the way of. I think Rick went the way of Hal from 2001, folks. That's unfortunate.
Well, hopefully not. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
But we'll just wait for him to get back on if he can. Hopefully, Rick, if you hear me, we just lost you again. Try and stay in one place if it's possible. But let's move on. As we already said, Andre Roberts has just been fantastic on special teams. As we continue on here talking about this game, Michael,
what's your next topic of discussion, sir? Yes.
Well, my next topic of discussion, of course, secondary. I mean, I think Jamal Adams had a very good game, Jamal Adams against Broncos. I think he's had a few here and there, obviously, during the three-game losing streak. Jamal Adams has not been as dynamic as he has been since, of course, you know, the week one win in Detroit and the week five win against Denver. But I think he would also say himself that he has to play better. I thought he did play better against Denver, but just like any young player who is just starting off, obviously we always talk about the sophomore slump no matter what sport it is. I think this is the one thing that Jamal Adams needs to do is to avoid another game of a sophomore slump, because the Jets really need him to be dynamic in the secondary, because he says he wants to be the captain of the defense, or a captain of the defense, of one of the captains on the team. Well, I know the whole thing about the whole New Jack City, you know, nickname for the secondary and everything. But still, though, you know, you can't just say it and not bring it. And I thought he needs to continue to bring it after this win over Denver.
Are you saying that you got to walk? If you're going to walk the walk, if you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Are you quoting Jimmy Johnson, Dan Feuerstein?
Maybe he's quoting Rex Ryan.
Maybe.
Hey,
I don't know.
I'll quote Rex. Why not?
But yeah, I mean, this is. Let's get a goddamn snack. Oh, did I say that on the air? I'm sorry.
Yes,
but,
you did.
I did. But as far as Jamal Adams is concerned, I mean, you know, I'm really impressed with the way he's played this year. Now, last year, he irritated me from the standpoint that he was a lot of talk and his play was somewhat small in a lot of ways. You know, he would give up the big play. He would get in the face of Cam Newton after he scored a touchdown, which was and then draw personal foul penalties when he didn't need to. So last year he kind of annoyed me in a lot of ways. This year I'm really impressed with the way he's played. He's been hard hitting. He's been in on every play. Of course, he had his first interception week one of his career. So I'm happy with the way he's played. He just has to keep it going. Of course, this is going to be a challenge this week, as we've already discussed, considering the Jets are banged up in the secondary. So if he's going to be the leader of New Jack City, if that's what they want to call themselves, this is the big week. This is a big week for Jamal Adams to be that leader.
And Rick, in your mind, just to go back on the defense, of course, Jamal Adams, you know, calling the secondary, you know, New Jack City. Were you in love when he started nicknaming his defense, or at least his secondary? Because, you know, until you really prove yourselves, I just think that was a little bit premature.
Yeah, and look, it's funny because I was actually in attendance at Sunday's Broncos-Jets game, and one of the guys next to me had that shirt that said New Jack City. I thought, how did they fans find a way of all of a sudden a player gives a secondary nickname, and the next day they have T-shirts printed out and thousands of people are wearing it? And look, I mean, if the Jets live up to that reputation, all is good and well. You know, Jamal Adams is the kind of guy, I think of him similar to a Jose Reyes. He's very exuberant. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's going to be cocky, borderline arrogant. But you know what? If the Jets are able to live up to that type and, you know, live up to that reputation, then I don't have a problem with it. Because, again, I think Jamal Adams, he even said when he first came into the Jets locker room, that the team was lacking a swagger, that the team and culture was accepting losing. And he, coming from LSU, a winning college football program, playing his high school playing days, going back there, he never liked losing. He was always a winner at every stage of his career. And, you know, he wants to bring that winning attitude. And so I understand why it rubs people the wrong way. But, I mean, you look at over the course of history of the NFL, you know, the Legion of Boom, the Steel Curtain, all these teams, of course, got nicknames based on the merits and how they played. They didn't necessarily give themselves that nickname. But again, you know, if this is what the Jets secondary needs to get themselves pumped up, to get them, you know, to play good football, I don't have a problem with it. But I can certainly see the flip side of that argument that, you know, what have they really accomplished so far in the NFL to be able to distinguish themselves as, quote unquote, New Jack City? But for me, I don't have as much of a problem with it because I do see a lot of promise from this defense. But again, you don't even know who your head coach is going to be beyond this year, whether Todd Bowles is even going to be around. So I don't know whether the Jets do make a coaching change. They maybe target somebody that's more of an offensive mind, like a John DeFilippo or, you know, a Sean McVay type. Then the Jets may turn a lot of attention away from the defensive side of the ball. So it is premature, but you know, Adams is a fiery player and a guy that's looked upon as a leader in that locker room. So if it helps rally his teammates, then I guess I'm all on board for it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Michael going back on the offense. And just going back to Isaiah Crowell for a second here. So far, five games, five touchdowns, 390 rushing yards by Crowell. Apparently, he is one of only two players in the NFL this year, running backs, with more than 350 yards rushing and five touchdowns. That is an amazing stat for a guy who didn't do much for Cleveland, and he comes to the Jets, and look what he's done in five games.
Well, I mean, a lot of that just came all last week. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. At least two-thirds of that goal came last week. But, you know, with Crowell, he's a lot like a lot of Jet running backs in recent years, whether it be Chris Johnson or, even Bilal Powell-Noways and, Chris Ivory. They're these nice backs that can give you every once in a while a 100-yard day, but a lot of the other times they'll give you what we saw in week two and week three, where Crowell ran for like 35 yards in each game. I mean, it doesn't give you a whole heck of a lot. So it's really catch as catch can with this kind of running back. Last week was brilliant. I mean, I don't think anybody saw that coming. The Jet offensive line deserves a lot of credit for what they did to open up holes for Isaiah Crowell and Bilal Powell. But, you know, am I going to sit here and put him on my fantasy team, say, oh, man, I got to have Crowell this week? I don't think so. not any chance.
All right. But anyway, Rick, you know, the one thing I think this Colts defense has proven, though, is that they have been able to stop the running game, successfully at the moment. You know, we'll see what happens against the Jets on Sunday. But, you know, at the moment, the Indianapolis defense has not allowed 100 yards rushing against them. So this can be a big, big game for the Jets running backs, for both Crowell and Bilal Powell, if they're going to try to at least get a good chunk yardage run, whether they get a touchdown or not. You know, this is going to be a big challenge for them for the running game if they can break through.
And that's a little uncharacteristic of Colts defenses that over the years, even going back to the Peyton Manning era, they were known as finesse pass rushing defenses with, you know, the Dwight Freeneys of the world that were speed rushers getting on the edge. And frankly, teams, the game plan was to be physical with the line of scrimmage, knock a lot of those lighter pass rushers off the ball and to just wear them out with the running game. We saw that, of course, in the Deflategate game, where the Patriots just ran all over the Colts. It wasn't Tom Brady in the passing attack. It was a ground-and-pound attack that just basically the Colts were trying to stop a downhill train. Of course, had no success doing that whatsoever. So I think it's a bit of a surprise across the league as well that the Colts have been this stout against the run. And, you know, that's the one thing if you're a Jet fan that scares you is if the Jets fall behind early, they've had a propensity for abandoning the running game, you know, putting Sam Darnold in these difficult third and long situations. I mean, just look at that Jacksonville Jaguar game where they had absolutely no – I think they had 37 yards rushing for the afternoon. And even in that second half, I'd be shocked if they had more than 5 to 6 carries in that second half. So, if you're Jeremy Bates, look, if the Jets fall behind early, it's a 7-point deficit, even a double-digit deficit. You would just hope that they wouldn't abandon the running game immediately and that you have such a home run hitter in Isaiah Crowell that I don't think anybody expected he was going to have that type of game. But any given play, he can take the ball and rush it off for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 yards, and you have to at least hold that hope that if you catch a defense in the wrong formation, some guys not lined up properly, that those plays can happen if they just keep feeding him and give him the ability to make some plays. So if you're the Jets, you want to stay balanced offensively, but you do have to have some respect for that Colts defensive front that has been uncharacteristically great at defending the run this year.
And Michael, finally, go ahead.
I want to get this in because I know we got a minute, but this is a very important game, not just from the standpoint of being a win or loss, but the Jets will be honoring their Super Bowl team. This is the 50th anniversary of the Jets. Super Bowl III win over the Colts, of course, 1968. So the Jets will be wearing gray face masks for the game. And when we think about the Jets, of course, you think about 50 years and you think about, you know, all the pain and suffering that the Jet fan has gone through. It's kind of like what a Yankee fan has gone through the last 10 years. But, it's been a lot of pain and suffering. But for one day, anyway, the Jets can look back nicely on that Super Bowl win.
Absolutely. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, the New York Jets will be on at 1 o'clock this Sunday afternoon on WCBS Channel 2 in New York City and within the tri-state area. So that'll do it for the Jets podcast preview show here on 247sports.com. The New York Jets will be hosting the Indianapolis Colts for this big, big matchup. Thank you very much for Rick Lachlan and for Michael Cohen. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. This has been the Jets. This has been the Jets podcast preview show on 247sports.com through blogtalkradio.com. We will talk to you on Monday afternoon. Bye-bye for now. Thank you.